we can, Baruch Hashem, we're able to focus on more prosaic issues. To the usual concern, what's the reason that we don't blow the shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos? It's a mitzvah deraisa to blow the shofar, Yom Teruah Yelachem. So why is it that we suspend this? And of course, we know that this is one of the takanos that was made according to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. This was a special takana, Gzeira Darabah. That somebody might not be baki in blowing the shofar. It's a mitzvah that is incumbent upon each and every individual. And a person who wanted to fulfill the mitzvah might go to an expert in order to learn and take his shofar into a Rishus HaRabim, carry it for Amos in a Rishus HaRabim, V'yabirenum Abba Amos Rishus HaRabim, and this is the reason, explains the Gemara, in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis, Hainu Taima de Lula, the Hainu Taima de Megillah, the same reason why if the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, as it does this year, even though in the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, we actually did shake the Lula when the first day would fall out on Shabbos, Bein B'Mikdash, Bein Mikvulin. Nonetheless, this Gzeira D'Rabbah applies nowadays that we don't shake the lulav in the first day, and so too if Purim would fall out on Shabbos, which it doesn't, then we wouldn't read the Megillah on Shabbos either, because we'd be worried that a person might carry the Megillah Dalet Amos Birshus HaRabim. Now, prior to the Gemara coming to this explanation as to why it is that we suspend the mitzvah, we will blow the shofar, of course, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, but we don't do it on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara had suggested that maybe this was actually Gzeiras HaKasuv that we could derive from the psukim themselves in the Torah, because one, a pasuk says, and this is in this is the pasuk. In Vayikra, in Parshas Emor, you have in source above, I have the psukim for you, it says, Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh, that it's a remembrance of the Truah. And the other pasuk, which is in Parshas Pinchas, says, as we quoted earlier, Yom Truah Yelachem, the source Hey on the top of page 2. So we can very easily distinguish it between the two psukim by saying one pasuk that says it's an actual blowing of the shofar, is B'yom Tov Shechal Lios B'chol, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a day other than Shabbos. And when it says Zichron Teruah, when it says that it's simply a remembrance of the shofar, that's B'yom Tov Shechal Lios B'Shabbos. That's when the first day of Rosh Hashanah, of course, in from a Torah perspective, it was only one day of Rosh Hashanah. This was a later takana to make a two-day Rosh Hashanah because of the Edom that would sometimes come very, very late in the day. They wouldn't know min hamincha lemala. They wouldn't know what shir to sing when it came time for the shir on the korban of the day, and therefore, since it would otherwise create confusion, the chachamim made a takana that even in Eretz Yisrael that we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But when certainly the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, even the first day, kam biyom tov shechalios b'Shabbos, that's when the Torah is telling us that zichron teruah. That it's only meant to be a remembrance of the shofar blowing, that we're not going to do it on Shabbos itself. So the Gemara in the Bavli rejects this understanding of how to derive the scriptural verses based on two kashas. The first kasha, which is posed by Rava, is we know that there the Mishnah tells us Yom Tov Shavash Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, it was B'Mikdash you token and below B'Medina. They blew the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't blow the shofar outside of the Beis HaMikdash, whatever Medina means. Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi, most we showed him, understand Medina means outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam understands Medina means outside of the Beis HaMikdash and its immediate environs, including Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, they also blow the shofar. This is all at the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, comes along Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he made a takana, Shihu Toki, there was no Beis HaMikdash anymore standing, so he made a takana that they still would blow the shofar on a Shabbos, but it would have to be in a place where there was a Beis Din. There's a big question amongst all the Rishonim. When he says Beis Din, does he mean Beis Din where you still had the Sanhedrin, just the Sanhedrin's not sitting in the Beis HaMikdash anymore? Did he mean that you had a functional Sanhedrin somewhere, and therefore any Bezdin that was a super Bezdin of Chof Gimel that could be done Dine Nefashos, if you had a Bezdin like that in the area, you could have the shofar blown in such a Bezdin of Chof Gimel. Virtually nobody understands that it meant that if you had the CRC, that would be good enough, as you know, prominent and prestigious as we may be, because Bezdin Shel Gimel, it was generally not considered to be sufficient. The only dissenter to that point of view was the Rif. The Rif was of the opinion that even if you have a Bezdin Shel Gimel, any Bezdin of Gimel, even the CRC, would be allowed to blow the shofar. Now, today, even today, if Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, you come to 2701 Howard, no problem. Rabbi Mostovsky would be happy to blow the shofar for you. According to the Rif, that's the way that it certainly could have been done, but otherwise not. And then you have basically three different opinions in the Mishnah. Kol Malkam Sheish Bo Bezdin only, or maybe it was only Yavne. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. And then there's an Amulo that no, it's any place where there is a Bezdin, and an Afkamina, if you had just a Bezdin that showed up. Bekrai that wasn't permanently in a particular location, that would be the nafkamina between the Tanakama and the Chachamim as to whether it's any place that is a permanent Bezdin or a temporary Bezdin. But we see certainly that, number one, before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the shofar was blown on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, and after it was destroyed, so it was expanded to any place that had a Bezdin. And then there's some cryptic statement about Yerushalayim was Yisrael Yavneh, which most Mefarshim seem to understand meant that when the Bezdin Hagadol was in Yerushalayim after it had been exiled from Lishkas Agassiz, so then it had a higher standing than other Bati Din, that anybody who was in the general vicinity of that Bezdin in Yerushalayim, even if they weren't actually there, would be allowed to blow the shofar. And the way that the Rambam learns that Yerushalayim was Yisera, even at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, and they would blow in Yerushalayim, would include the entirety of Yerushalayim. So the question then the Gemara asks is that if we say that there is a din deraisa of zichron trua, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, the Torah tells you you're not allowed to blow the shofar, what right would they have had to blow the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash? They wouldn't have had the right. And number two, if it is a... why in the world would the Torah have to tell you not to blow the shofar if it falls on Anon Shabbos? He says, HaMalachi, Tishrich Kar Limute, that it's not a malacha, it's only a chokhma. Blowing the shofar is not one of the lamites of malachos, and therefore there is no basis of why the Torah would tell you not to blow the shofar if it falls out on Shabbos, since there's no malach involved with blowing the shofar. So therefore, the Bavli rejects this distinction and comes up with the Gezerah Derabah. Now, even though the Bavli rejects this distinction, the Yerushalmi, if you look in Source Gimel, does not reject this distinction. The Yerushalmi says clearly this is the reason why we distinguish between Shabbos and the other days of the week. This was brought to the Chachamim, the Eretz Yisrael, and they asked Gabba Rabba, the Gemara tells us, and the answer was, well, one pasuk says Yom Trua and the other pasuk says Zichron Trua. Haketzad b'shashu chal b'chol Yom Trua, when Rosh Hashanah falls out during the weekday, so then it's Yom Trua, you blow the shofar. B'shashu chal b'Shabbos falls out on Shabbos, Zichron Trua. As kiren of a low token, we mention Zichron Trua, like this is what we still do in our Shmon Esrei, this is what we do in our Kiddush, that we distinguish. We say Yom Trua if it's a regular weekday, and we say Zichron Trua if it's on Shabbos. But the truth of the matter is, that works out well according to the Yerushalmi. According to the Bavli, there doesn't appear to be any such a distinction. But that's what the Yerushalmi says, that it is actually a din, it's actually a din d'oraisa. Then Yerushalmi has to contend with this question of, so why then, if it's a din d'oraisa, Zichron Trua, you don't blow the shofar on Shabbos, so why then would you do it in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara, the Talmud Yerushalmi, actually gives an answer. If you look towards the answer, Me'atav Mikdash Lo Yitcha. So even in the Beis HaMikdash, you should the blowing of the shofar should not be doche Shabbos when Shabbos falls, or when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So he says no. Behikrav Tem, the Rabbi's quote, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. That since the pasuk says that Behikrav Tem indicates that you always blow the shofar. How Behikrav Tem indicates that. So the Meforshim struggle to explain that a little bit. But if you look at the Psukim in sources Hey and sources and source and source above, so where do we have the Vehikrav Tem? We have that where it mentions the Zichron Trua. Zichron Trua, that's in the Emor. Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh is when we don't blow the shofar. And there I have a little bit of an interruption before I get to Vehikrav Tem. That the Vehikrav Tem seems to be a little bit distant from this idea of there's a Zichron Trua time that you don't blow the shofar. But when it comes to when we mention Yom Trua Yelachem in the Psukim in Parshas Pinchas, you look at the end of Pasuk Aleph over there, Yom Trua Yalachem, what's in the next words? The immediate two next words are Vasisem Ola, that you perform your korbanos. So therefore, it's immediately after Yom Trua. So the fact that performing korbanos comes immediately after Yom Trua, but has a little bit of a distance after we mention Zichron Trua, shows us that when it comes to blowing the shofar, so what you're doing in the Beis HaMikdash, just like you're bringing korbanos, that's always going to be relevant to Yom Trua, but what you're doing in the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be relevant to Zichron Trua, to when you don't blow the shofar. That's how the Meforshim explain the limud over here. Be it as it may, certainly we see that there is some sort of a distinction with respect to what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash. Later, Meforshim explain that it could be that the nature of the blowing of the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash is different from the nature of the blowing of the shofar outside of the Beis HaMikdash in terms of the chova, but what exactly is going on in the Beis HaMikdash. We said that as a general rule, the reason why we're not worried about this, the Gezeirah D'Rabbah, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, it says Rashi, if you take a look at the source base towards the end, it says, "Ein isa shavus d'rabbanim mikdash." We don't impose and shavus d'rabbanim when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the reason why we allow blowing in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a kasha, famous kasha by the Turi Evin on this Gemara, where the Turi Evin says that, as a general rule, we say, you know, shavus krovi k'itiru, shavus rechok lo itiru. That if it is a type of shavus that relates to the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, so that gets suspended. I have something going on in the Beis HaMikdash that has nothing to do with the avoda's Beis HaMikdash, so then we apply a shavus to the Beis HaMikdash as well. So why wouldn't I apply this idea to the Beis HaMikdash when it comes to an iser shavus, given that the blowing of the shofar is not an avoda in the Beis HaMikdash per se. So it could be what the Yishami is teaching us is that no, the nature of the blowing of the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash was that it was a kind of an avoda. And in fact, the way in which it was blown in the Beis HaMikdash was specifically, there were two chatzotzros that were blown together with the shofar all the time. You didn't have such a production of two chatzotzros outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It could be that it was viewed as something that accompanied the korbanos hayom, the Tzvi Pesach Frank and his Mikrai Kodesh even entertains the possibility that within the Beis HaMikdash, the shofar would have to be blown dafka by Kohanim. Then only Kohanim, with just like the only Kohanim can do the avoda, so too only Kohanim can do the would blow the shofar. And if you look in Source Yud Aleph at the Rambam, this is after Source Yud, where the Rambam spoke about that the shofar will be blown all over Yerushalayim. But then the Rambam talks about why is it that when they made the takana afterwards, that they were going to continue sort of this tradition of blowing the that had been done of blowing the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Rambam says, "V'lama tokim b'pnei bezdin." Why is it okay to blow in front of the bezdin? Because afterwards it was expanded. There was no Beis HaMikdash anymore, so he said you could blow the shofar in front of a bezdin, especially appointed bezdin. So the Rambam says not because of any kind of a reason that oh it's an extension of the idea of ein shavus, but he says mnei shebezdin's reason hen blo yavo a token la'avir a shofar b'fneim reshus harabim shebezdin masivin es ha'am modian osan. That the Bezdin is the reason, and therefore they're going to see to it that nobody is going to bring the shofar to them to carry the shofar in the Rishus HaRabim. So the question is, what do you mean? Because the Bezdin is his reason, Hain. How does that solve the problem? If I have a chiyuv with respect to blowing the shofar, which is incumbent upon every single individual, so who cares that the Bezdin is reason? An individual in his house who lives in the Bezdin vicinity is still going to want to learn how to, you know, blow the shofar, and he's going to walk to the Bezdin to learn how to blow his shofar. So what difference is it going to make? So therefore, an answer, a possible answer within the Rambam is And this is an answer that is suggested by Rav Moshe Sternbach in his Chidushim in the Sefer Moedim Uzmanim. He says that it could be that since we are sort of continuing the nature of what had been done in the Beis Hamikdash, that it was not a shofar blowing that was for the purpose of each individual fulfilling their obligation, but it was a special shofar blowing of a choves hatzibur. It's a special choves hatzibur that is represented by the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is Yossi. Nobody else has to even be there. It's not like they have to hear the shofar from the Beis Din. That's the idea. There is some sort of a tekiah that takes place in front of the Beis Din, but it's not something where the whole world gathers where everybody else has a chiyuv yachid. So whenever it's a choves tzibur, then it's in their hands completely and the responsibility of the tzibur. So then we don't have the gzeira deraba of shemiyah vereno dalet amasu shusarabim. This is the explanation that's given in the name of the Vilna Gaon as to why it is that even though we made a special gzeira, if you think about it, there were three areas where we made this gzeira deraba that we're worried that somebody's going to carry in a Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, and therefore we don't do something on Shabbos. Shofar, lulav, and what's the third one? Megillah doesn't come up too much because, as I said, Megillah doesn't pull up, Mekperm doesn't pull up on Shabbos. But if it did, we wouldn't read the Megillah. That's very nice, but we're going to be reading the Megillah on the eighth day after the beginning of Sukkot, which is going to be Shmini Atzeres, which is going to be a Shabbos. We're going to be reading Megillah Koheles. If we read Megillah Shir Shirim on Shabbos, we read all the Megillahs on Shabbos. All the other Megillahs are read on Shabbos. At least those three of Rus. Koheles and Shir HaShirim, we read on Shabbos. We read them, generally speaking, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. We don't have a Chol HaMoed this year. We're still reading on Shabbos. We read Koheles. So look at the Ma'aseh Rav in Source Yud Zayin. The Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, Pesach, Sukkos, and Shavuos. We read the various things and so forth. And then it goes on to say, and we read the Megillahs. Kohen HaMegillah B'Nigun, B'Taimeh, whatever happens to be the Megillah of the day, whether it's Koheles on Sukkot, or whether it is Shir HaShirim on Pesach, whether it's Rus on Shavuos, Echad Kohen V'Kulam Shomin, and certainly Shabbos Chol HaMoed, we're going to read it. V'Kohen Mevarek Shtei Brachos, HaMikra Megillah V'Shachiyanu. He has his Kiddush, the Vilna Gaon, as we know. Number one says, you make a bracha on Megillah, right? So there are certain places that just never make a bracha on Megillah, even if they read from a klaf. That's the minhag in many shuls where I daven. I do read a Megillah from a klaf, so it's annoying not to make the bracha. When I was growing up, I always I davened in community synagogue of Muncie with Rabbi Moshe David Tendler, and he followed the Vilna Gaon. So I made the Al-Mikra Megillah, and I made the bracha of Shechiyanu, so I got to make both brachas. Ask the Ma'aseh Rav, v'shamati, v'shik shechacham echad rabbeinu, somebody asked the Vilna Gaon, wait a second, if there is an actual chiyuv that we're supposed to read these Megillahs, derived from Megillah Sofim and so forth, and you're going to make a bracha, Al-Mikra Megillah, and so on, Shechiyanu, ech mutar nekos m'shabes, lam lo nigzar alein, gzeira d'rabba, shem yavi renu abba amas b'shus rabim. Why aren't we worried about the gzeira d'rabba? We're going to carry it for amas, k'mo Megillah Esther, v'heishiv, so the Groa answered, she gzeira, it's only if it's a chiyuv, which is incumbent upon every single individual. It's not an obligation on the yachid. If you don't have a minion, you're not going to read it altogether. So says the Rosh Sternbach, he says that the Rambam obviously understood that it's the same idea with respect to the special blowing of the shofar, both in front of the Beis Hamikdash, both in the Beis Hamikdash and in front of the Beis Din, that this was a chiyuv hatzibur. It was a chiyuv hatzibur. Once it's a chiyuv hatzibur, so then there's no you don't have to come on to the explanation of ain shvus beveis hamikdash, whether it be a shvus or not shvus beveis hamikdash. You never needed to make the shvus in the first place. You never needed to make the gzeira d'rabba. Hashem yevarenu dalet amasu shusarabim, because it's completely in the hands of the Beis Din. So then the question becomes, okay, good.
Is it possible that's why the Gemara has another reason for Megillah, the aniyim?
Why? In the case of Megillah, we do say that it's because of the fact that it is a chiyuv on every single individual in the case of the Megillah.
Right, but the weakness of the question is by other Megillahs, we're not concerned. So the Gemara has another reason by Megillah. That is, the Aniyim are going to be upset when you read about Tzedakah.
Maybe. Something to consider. I think, though, that the distinction is a very good distinction, meaning I think that the answer is a good answer, that this is a major distinction between Megillus Esther and the other Megillus. Okay, any other questions? Good. So now, if you take a look at the Ritva has a very, very interesting comment. The Ritva says that what type of a Beis Din do I need? What type of a Beis Din do I need? Look at the third paragraph in the Ritva. This is on the towards the bottom of page 2. So he quoting from the Gemara over there, he quotes from various shitas. There's a Rabbi Elazar who held Dafka Biyavna Kashaisa Sham Sanhedrin Gedola, that you need a Sanhedrin Gedola, Vika Tanai the Savri, Idach Tanai the other Tanaim hold, who didn't come on Kamsheshbo Sanhedrin Gedola. So what then is the Machlokis? The Hapliga Tanakamas of the Pilu Bezin decry, the first Tana held that even if it's a Bezin just happens to be set up temporarily, Klamashan San and Mikun Sham. You have the big Sanhedrin there temporarily. And then the philastus, and then the chachamim of the end say, no, it has to be there, open kavua. And Rabbi Elazar held only Yavne. So he says, however, there are those who hold that even if you have a bezin of three, that would be good enough as long as they were. As long as they were capable, but they have to be a part individuals who are capable of being part of the Sanhedrin Gedola to be Mekadesh Yisachodesh. And certainly, if you didn't have Bez and Smuchen, so then you're not going to be able to do this. But he says, the Rif seems to hold that you'd have the three rabbis from the CRC. You get myself, Rabbi Langer, and you get Rabbi Kraft, and the three of us can do it, no problem. And the Talmidim said, and he says that since nowadays the other argument is, oh, maybe it's not really Rosh Hashanah, so therefore you have no right to blow on shofar because that's why we have 2 days. Nah, we really do know that the first day is Rosh Hashanah. That's why we call it Al Tishrei. We don't call it Lamed Elul. So we held it was okay. So he must have learned that the mission was that the three-way machlokes was that Rabbi Elazar held, and that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai only made the takana in Yavne when there was a Sanhedrin Gedola, and they said to him, the Amulo said, no, any place in which there is a Bezdin, because this is the final shita, the third shita of the Tanaim who argued with him, that any Sanhedrin Gedola, O Kitana, O Shloshimayen, is good enough. And the Tanakhama held that, that this is the most radical shita. Afilu bezin she'enu samach elachashu v'kavuvim komo, and that's bezin akrai. Bezin akrai, according to the Rif, means bezin. It's not samach. A bezin CRC. Where bezin akrai, no problem. Since the halachas ketanakhama, according to the Rif, therefore he held you could blow the shofar, and he did blow the shofar on Shabbos. Unbelievable, right? So he says the Ritva just throws in case you should, think of doing this in your own home. Ze eino nachon. He says that is not. We won't bez it. He says ze eino nachon. Not correct. Never heard of anybody who would think of doing such a thing until Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger came along. Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger he's connected somehow to the Chassam Sofer because the Chassam Sofer was the Sandik at his bris. So Chassam Sofer was 2 years old when he died, but he always had this special fondness and attachment to the Chassam Sofer because after all he was his Sandik, and he was the one who even popularized the Chassam Sofer's famous, phrase, Chodesh Asam in the Torah. So he's running around saying Chodesh Asam in the Torah, Chodesh Asam in the Torah. Boy, was he an innovator. So he decided on his own that if you look at the Rambam who includes all of Yerushalayim, he said, included all of Yerushalayim before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so all of Yerushalayim is included after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Yerushalayim doesn't need the Beis HaMikdash. That's how he interpreted the Rambam. And number two, we have the Shita Sarif. The Rif is the one who popularized the notion that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah should be observed even in Eretz Yisrael. So he says that if you're following the Rif about observing the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and you're not going to wear tefillin on the second day of Rosh Hashanah because of the Rif in Eretz Yisrael, how dare you be mevatel the mitzvah shofar on the first day when it falls down on Shabbos, when the Rif held that you could blow the shofar when Shabbos falls on the first day. Number three, he held, what kind of Rishus HaRabim do we have anyway, Bismanazeh? And we do have a Rishus HaRabim Bismanazeh. Come on, I'm talking about Yerushalayim. Glossos nulos v'layla when it comes to Yerushalayim. And therefore, the Gemara in Sukkah, And Daf Mem Aleph from a Bay says that if a person mistakenly poured out, let's say the lulav, you know, on Shabbos, so when there's a Rishus Rabbim, and they didn't bring their lulav, this is Bismarck's, the base of Mikdash was standing, they used to still blow, shake the lulav on Shabbos in the first day, and a person didn't bring their Rishul, the lulav to the basic message before, then they happened to carry it on Shabbos by mistake, so they're potter anyway. The potter anyway, because it's Rishus, this is Rishus. Of course, it's not Rishus. That's when there was a Rishus to shake the lulav in the first day of his day. There's no Rishus. Every single one of his arguments can be schlugged up. But he had a lot of arguments anyway. Usually, if you have many arguments, it means that none of them are any good. But he had lots of arguments, and apparently in the 1880s, at one point in time, when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, he did blow the shofar. Apparently, he did do it. And then there was another big commotion when there were 2 years in a row. I think in 1902, 1904, 1905, there were 2 years in a row when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, Tov Reish Samach Dan, Tov Reish Samach Hey, and both of those times, he wanted, I don't know whether it was the first year, the second year, he said, come on, we're going to miss out 2 years in a row, we have to blow the shofar on Shabbos, and he made a whole, you know, big campaign about it, and he wrote lots of articles. They were published in a Torah journal at the time called Tel Tapios, or the arguments in favor, arguments against, and the people were scandalized by what he was about to do. But there were two eminent elderly rabbis living at the time in Yerushalayim who said, well, we wouldn't necessarily endorse it ourselves, but, you know, he has his arguments. If he does it, we'll listen. We think that, you know, we're going to be Yotze. They assumed that they would be Yotze. There's a Rabbi Kiva Eger that says that if in violation of the halakha that says that nowadays you can't blow the shofar when the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, especially if you'd assume like the Bavli, that it's a Gzeira D'Rabba, it's not necessarily a Gzeira Sakasu. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger said, you'll be Yotze, you'll be Yotze. There's a big shaila about this, the long Chokhmah Shlomo, you look in Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Peiches, long Chokhmah Shlomo, he says, he does it, not so sure, you'll be Yotze, but the two of them seem to feel that they could be Yotze, and the Aderet, I think in particular, there was the Aderet in Shlomo Salad. The Aderet in particular was worried he was getting on in years, he wasn't sure he would make it to, there were 2 years in a row, he wasn't sure he's going to make it to a Rosh Hashanah that doesn't fall on Shabbos, he won't be able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Daraisa of hearing the Shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so they really, they figured they're going to, you know, stand behind the Kota, I don't understand that Lashon, they'll stand behind wherever it is that he's going to blow the Shofar, I guess in the old city, and they would be Yotze with it. But apparently, there was such a commotion, such an uproar, and such a brouhaha about this that it never happened. It didn't happen the second time. Apparently, the first time around, it really did happen. So the Mordim was about him.
Didn't he write it?
He said, no, I think the first time around was also in Yerushalayim. Part of his argument was doing it in Yerushalayim. So the Mordim was about him. Moshe Sternberg actually writes about this. And he says that, yeah, he did it the first time, but it didn't work out the second time around. But he says nowadays, there was a certain Chacham who decided to do this on his own in Eretz Yisrael, recent times. I don't know. Those may know who this is. I don't know exactly who it is. But probably just as well, because he says, below his shlim shnaso. Mm. What that means. So we don't mess around with this anymore. We don't mess around with this. But it should be known. There's a very interesting comment of Yosef Engel, which has not generally been accepted. But Yosef Engel says that even he makes peace. He says even the distinction which is drawn in the Yerushalmi, saying that it's based on the Gzeira Sakasuv. So the Gzeira Sakasuv of Zichron Trua was itself a Siyag Deraisa. It was itself the Torah telling you, Zichron Trua, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you should not blow the shofar. So why do I need this? Why do I need such a Gzeira Sakasuv when it's not a Malacha altogether, like the Talmud Bavli says? And no, the Zichron Trua is teaching you Gzeira Deraba. He's saying they said that even in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, before Rabbi was born, they had Gezerah de Rabba, they had this idea. Rabba just mentioned what had existed from time immemorial. They had this idea that you have to be worried about Shema Yavreno Da'al Hamas Veshus HaRabim. You look in the Balatanya, Balatanya says explicitly in his Droshos that this Gezerah de Rabba did not exist until Rabba, that it was not, you know, something that existed before him, a very, very creative solution. The reason he came up with this creative solution of Yosef Engel, that source of Zion in the materials, was because of the fact that you have to overcome the kasha of, isn't it, you know, some sort of, why do I need Xeris Akasu when there's no kind of malacha that's being done anyway on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? So Rav Schechter has a very innovative suggestion, which he says, I'll tell you what the nature of the Raisa is that the Yerushalmi was talking about. It's the Yerushalmi L'shitasu. And that is that according to the Yerushalmi, this is in Masechta Shabbos, Perek Tezvav, Halacha Gimel. It's usher a person is usher for a person vo'at tzaracha b'Shabbos. Person is not allowed to make tachinos on Shabbos. That's why we don't have a long 19 bracha shmonesrei, because you're not allowed to be tovei tzaracha b'Shabbos. You can't cry out. What is Yom Teruah? I'm the blowing of the shofar all about. It's all about Yom Yibava. It's all about a day of crying out. It's a day in which we're crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the way Rosh Hashanah puts it. It's a tefillah b'dmos. That's the way that normally we daven with words, but with the shofar, we're davening with our tears. We're davening by crying out. That's what it is. But it's a tefillah b'dmos. It's beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to Yerushalmi, that's something that would normally be also in Shabbos. But we say, no. Zikon Truah, it's normally usher. On Shabbos, you can't you can't do it. Except Bikraftem, you know, that when it comes to when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, so then we say Bikraftem Yishel Hashem, because the Beis HaMikdash is ki base tefillah yikarei l'chol amim. Beis HaMikdash, the whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, whatever you're going to be in the Beis HaMikdash, you're supposed to be davening and crying out to Kodesh, because always a heter when you're in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, that's the reason why the Beis HaMikdash would be an exception. And the Bavli, of course, holds that there is no Issa per se in terms of being Bebakesh, Tachinos, and on Shabbos. It's just that, as the Gemara says in Brachos, that we don't want to be matriach somebody on Shabbos. Says if a person started a tachonein, so they can finish a tachonein, why do we allow them to finish it? We say because, technically speaking, you could have said the entire Shmoneh Esrei. It's just that we don't generally want to impose that upon everybody. Because of Kavod Shabbos, we're not matriarch people to say, you know, a very long Shmoneh Esrei. So therefore, that's why the Bavli says there's no din that would otherwise prohibit you from blowing the shofar on Shabbos, so I don't need a Xeris Akasuv to teach me Zichron Truah. But the Yerushalmi therefore comes along and says, no. From our perspective, it really is something which is usher, therefore that we have a Xeris Akasuv, because Zichron Truah, that on Shabbos you're not allowed to blow the shofar.
Is that also Daraisa Tekina B'Shabbos?
It would be
Yerushalmi's learning.
The Yerushalmi would say that it'd be some sort of an Isser on a Daraisa level. Yeah. That would be the Chiddush. So that's how Rav Shechter learns it. Now, what's very interesting also is that the Gemara, yes, Rabbi Engel.
Two things. First, the Rav Shechter, is this in one of the Sfarim, or is this in Piyat Shmula? Do you have directly from it? Do you remember?
So it's a little bit, If you look in the Bikvei Yatzon, pages Kaf Chaf Pei to Kaf Chaf Bav, you get a little bit of it, and to get like the rest of it, you look in the Imrei Bach on Rosh Hashanah Simen Chaf, where Rabbi Simon quotes it from Rosh Hashanah, and he gives you the fuller treatment. Okay, if you take a look in Source Yud Beis, moving along, Source Yud Beis says, "I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Kol Shana Shein Tokan Lamitzkidasa Marin Lamitzofa." My time will be any single year in which you do not blow the shofar at the very beginning, so then it's going to be bad news. So that's going to be a big problem. Because what happens then, you have the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, you're not going to be able to blow the shofar. So then you don't have the benefit of the protection of the shofar that you blew at the beginning of the year in order to arouse the Kadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. And then it's going to be bad news the rest of the year. So Tosfos tells you, don't worry about it so much. Shein token mitzchilasa mefarshu alachas gedolos, lav dem likla b'shapsel d'lishyol idunso. It doesn't mean a year in which Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos. It means a year in which there was an onus. It was an onus, like big accident occurred, it was COVID, you didn't have you didn't have access to a chauffeur, so that's when you're going to have trouble. It's an onus. Why should an onus be a problem? In fact, you look in the Rashba over there says, nah, it means you didn't blow up a pshia, you were negligent. You know, if it was an onus, rachmana patre, you're not going to get into trouble for an onus. Meshech Chachma says, yeah, you get into trouble for an onus. Why do you get into trouble for an onus? Because he says it's like a refuah. The blowing of the shofar is like a refuah. This isn't like, you know, a mitzvah that, okay, you didn't perform it, so we say onus rachmana patre. Raku kemo rifos talal izikoronasi. Kemo mechapi biyom kippurim. He says that it's something in which it's like you are getting a refuah by virtue of the fact that you're blowing the shofar. It's like you're coming inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You didn't come in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You didn't get your kapara in Yom HaKippurim. V'nimsa cholim onus liyikach mazur refuah. Ha'im yisrape? If somebody, because of an onus, he's a sick person, and an onus happens, he didn't take his medicine. So do we say, ah, it's okay, you were an onus, so you're going to be okay anyway. No, you're not okay. If you didn't take your medicine, so then you're in trouble. So therefore, that's what the Meshul Chokhmah says. Kein kishneder zikon shofar shemaknesis zikonos Yisrael abim shemayim su hacholi below mazur refuah. So at this point in time, you're not going to have the refuah anymore. So therefore, you're going to be in bad shape. And that's why, even if it's an onus, Tosa says that you're still going to get yourself into trouble. So why then do you not get into trouble if it's on Shabbos? So he has this beautiful explanation. He says, we are close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We're like very two close friends. Everyone cares about the other one, right? A Kaddish Baruch Hu says in his tefillin, and we say in our tefillin, as we all know. And he gives other examples as well. And so he says that, why is it that we don't blow the shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Because we are concerned, Shema Yavirena Dan Amos V'Shusarabim. It may be far-fetched. It may be far-fetched. Well, who knows? How much do we really have Rosh Hashanah in Bisman? Maybe a person would be potter. Probably wouldn't be potter because if you don't have, you know, the allowance to blow on Shabbos. But he says that nonetheless, it's really because we're so protective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor that we are prepared to forego the ability to be ma'aviv as a satan. We're prepared to forego our ability to receive the rachamim, the refuah that's necessary through the blowing of the shofar. It's because we do not want to injure or harm in any way the Shabbos, which is made akedusha shemo yisbarach penya virenu dal amasu shisavam mischalo shemo chalila. So therefore, he says, oh, so if that is basically our attitude, the Kiman Shekein, last two lines, Harez the Gufa Masha Inanu Tokim Rosh Hashanah Shkalias B'Shabbos, Segufa Akeda Ruchanes Muflegis, that we're giving up our well-being. What is it that the shofar represents? Akeda Yitzchak, he was prepared to give everything up, prepared to give everything up for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're doing exactly the same. We're prepared to give up our Teshua, our forgiveness on Rosh Hashanah in order to protect the dignity and the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Promotion of Zichron Shofar. So for that reason, that's why we receive our forgiveness. The Kashuk Lefer Gon has another version of this. He says, what was Yitzchak doing? He was the paradigmatic person who had Emunas Chachamim, because he didn't hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it was necessary to sacrifice him. This kind of like sounded like, you know, child slaughter from his perspective, but he had Emunas Chachamim. He trusted that his father was a big Navi, and he could trust his father, and he didn't run away, and he went willingly to be slaughtered in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he had Emunas Chachamim. Here, too, we have Emunas Chachamim. What's the Shema Yavirena Dan Amos V'Shusarabim? We don't really get it 100%, but we have Emunas Chachamim. That's what Rabbi declared, even though it means that we're going to have to forego our mitzvah Tkiyas Shofar, even though maybe we can say, hey, you know, the Rif did it, why should we have to listen to what the Ritva says, you know, and all the other Rabbanim who, you know, were so against Rav Akiva, you know, Meir Schlesinger, when he tried to do it. I don't know. We're going to follow what all the Chachamim and all the Gedolim say, and we're going to forego this tremendous opportunity of blowing the shofar. So that itself is akin to exactly what Yitzchak did when he had that tremendous Emunas Chachamim. It's like a vort that I once heard from Rav Nutter Greenblatt, Zechat Tzadik Levracha. He was once giving a shmooze. I brought him to Yeshiva University once. He happened to be in New York for Messiah's get, which almost never happened. Normally it would be like, you know, I don't know, Wichita, Kansas or something. But he was in New York, and therefore he came to Yeshiva. We said, oh, why don't you give a shmooze? So he came and he gave a shmooze, and he tried to encourage the fellows to go into Rabbanus in small towns. Like when he went into Memphis, Tennessee, it was a small town. He said, even though he had to give up the chinuch of his children. So he was very concerned. You know, he was thinking to myself, how can I give up the chinuch of my children? And he realized, ah, this is the word in Akedas Yitzchak, that the greatest chinuch that Yitzchak saw was how Avraham Avinu was prepared to give him up entirely, to give up Yitzchak entirely in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the greatest chinuch for Yitzchak. So when his own children would see that he was prepared to forego a proper chinuch for him in order to serve Klal Yisrael, that was the greatest chinuch. It was a very interesting word. But this is the same sort of idea, that the fact that we're prepared to forego the ability to receive, you know, the protection of the shofar, so that gives us the greatest possible protection of the shofar when it comes in and such a year. Now, with all of that, with Yaakov Entlinger, in his sefer on Alachumish, Minchas Oni, so he says that it's not always true. He says, yes, that when you don't blow the shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it falls down on Shabbos. Tosu says, generally, you're going to be protected. It's okay, but that's on one condition, that you honor the Shabbos. That you honor the Shabbos. And he gives the following, and he says that some of the greatest years in Jewish history, like the year in which we left Mitzrayim, The year we built the Mishkan, he says that year was a year in which, if you do the calculation, Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. And the year we entered into Eretz Yisrael, so the year Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. But if you do your calculation, the year of the Churban Bayis Rishon and the year of the Churban Bayis Sheni, and according to Rabbi Yochum Olshin that I read in his Yerach Lamadim, the year of 9/11, these were years in which the first day of Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. So some of the worst years have also been when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. Okay? Lahavdil from this 9/11 that we're in today, which should be a good 9/11. But he said that, what's the difference? He said, he gave a mashal. He said, let's say that there's somebody who's condemned to death. Of course, you didn't have, you didn't follow proper protocol, and a person is condemned to death by the king. And they're pleading to all of the officers and all the ministers, and nobody can help them. And finally, they turn to their wife, and the wife says, you know what? All the ministers and all of the officers, they like me. It's true, you messed up. But they're really, really, fond of me. So let me petition them, and I'll petition the king and all these officers and ministers and so forth, and I'll get you off the hook. And she comes and together with him, and they say, how can we possibly go against her? She's so wonderful and so forth. You know what? We'll save him for the sake of her. And then somebody else is sentenced to death by the king a few months later, and he tries to pull the same trick. Like, he's not getting anywhere by petitioning everybody. So his wife also, he figures, okay, my wife also is in good graces with them and so forth. I'll bring my wife, brings his wife, and they say, nothing doing, we're still sentencing you to death. What's wrong? I don't understand. The other guy, he brought his wife, isn't my wife just as good? His wife absolutely 100% just as good. Problem is, when he brought his wife, she came with bruises and scratches all over her face. They said, what are those bruises and scratches? Oh, I don't have no idea. We know what those bruises and scratches, because you haven't been good to your wife. You haven't been good to your wife. So we like your wife, but there's no reason to save you on behalf of your wife. If anything, we should kill you on behalf of your wife. So therefore, he says, that's the difference. And that's exactly what's going on over here with respect to when does Rosh Hashanah protect us? When the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, that's when we treat, our wife properly. What is Shabbos? The Medrash says that Shabbos came and complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Sunday is Monday, Tuesday is Wednesday, Thursday is Friday. What about me? I have no partner. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, you do have a partner. You have Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is your partner. It's your husband. It's your partner. So we have to treat our partner properly. We don't treat our partner properly. So then we're in trouble. So that's the idea. So this is a year in which, in particular, everybody should do their utmost to honor the Shabbos, to perform, to observe Shabbos properly, to take upon themselves when they enter into Rosh Hashanah this year, so that Rosh Hashanah will have the proper protection for them this year. Show that you are in a loving relationship with Shabbos. Show that you're going to keep Shabbos properly. And you should have that mindset from the very beginning of the year, on the very first day of the year, which is going to turn out to be Shabbos this year. So that's, an important message, I think, to take with respect to Rosh Hashanah falling out on Shabbos. A couple of little halachos that do apply, in addition to, the usual ones that I don't need to get into, regarding, making Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, you'll figure that out. But in terms of Tzidkascha, do you say Tzidkascha on Shabbos Mincha or not? Is this a day that you say, it's Yom HaDin, maybe we should say Tzidkascha anyway? Do you say, no, it's Shabbos. Shabbos is a day which is, a beautiful day. We never say Tzidkascha. We wouldn't say Taknun on Shabbos. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you say Tzidkascha. Comes along the Ramah. It's for the Ashkenazim amongst us in the crowd. Yeshama Shlod Homo. We don't say it, and that's our minhagin. The Ran explains that the reason why we don't say it is because of the fact that it's a day of Simcha as well. It's a day the Mishnah Berurah brings in the name of various Rishonim, because it's a Yom Tov, it's a Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh we never say it, but it happens to be Rosh Hashanah, it's also Rosh Chodesh. But it's also, the Ran explains, that it's a day in which we eat and we drink, and it's a day, like the Torah says, that we have a certain confidence level in the din. Now, you can say you have a confidence level in the din, but it's still a Yom HaDin. So the Aruch HaShulchan says something very, very interesting. If you take a look in Source Kaf Aleph, it says, Chena Minag Pasha Shalanam, that we don't say Tzidkascha. But he says, V'imishim Yom HaDin. You say, you should still say it, because it's, after all, a Yom HaDin, so therefore you should mention Yom HaDin, and so forth. It says, Kva Nismatku HaDin HaMachat Filos Musuf. He says that once in the afternoon, so we're no longer, right? A lot of people don't even have the minute to say Ksivah Ksima Tova anymore, right? You say, Malchus Sima Tova already. That, we assume there's already a Ksima Tova. We assume that there's already been a positive and favorable judgment once we get to that afternoon period of time. And therefore, we should have that positive frame of mind, particularly when we go into the Shabbos and we're subjugating ourselves to a Kaddish Baruch Hu this year. and during Shabbos by Bedavka not blowing the shofar to show our emunas chachamim, to show how much we treasure HaKadosh Baruch Hu in keeping the Shabbos holy. Therefore, we can have that sense of confidence as something to think about when we don't say Tzikoska. It happens that the Ran distinguishes between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He says Yom Kippur is a Yominoi. If Yom Kippur would fall out on Shabbos, then we would say Tzikoska. That we don't do either. But the reason we don't do that is because we have the words in Tzikoska, Mishpatecha Tahom Rabbah. So Mishpatecha Tahom Rabbah, that your strict justice, it can be a deep abyss. It could be something which is very threatening. So on Yom Kippur, we're kind of like asking for mercy. We don't want to like remind ourselves of Mishpatecha Tahom Rabbah, per se, or certainly not call out to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Mishpatecha Tahom Rabbah. So therefore, Lamaisa, we don't say it on Rosh Hashanah, and we also, the Ashkenazi community, we don't say it on Yom Kippur either. What about Tashlik, which we know is the most important part of Rosh Hashanah, right? I mean, you want to talk about Zeraisis. Okay, so Tashlik, we don't, do we say Tashlik on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? So everybody knows. That's like one thing that like the whole world knows. It's five-year-olds know this. That you don't say Tashlik on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But that was something which wasn't so clear. The person who introduced it, Tashlik, I mean, it's true, there's like a Rashi and Shabbos that pay base on a base, I think, which he talks about some earlier hybrid version of Tashlik and Kaparis, whatever that's talking about. But the person who introduced this idea of that we go and we do Tashlik based on Tashlik and Sulis Yom Kochatusam, was the Maharil. And the Maharil said, oh, don't take like stuff with you because it might be, you know, Hotzah, whatever, you know, if you don't, whatever, if you take things bread that aren't, that don't take breadcrumbs, you know, you might take things that aren't necessary or you're not supposed to really be feeding the fish, et cetera, et cetera. So he says, you shouldn't do it on most years, even when there isn't an Isra Hotzah per se on Yom Tov, but certainly on Shabbos, that would be improper for you to take. But he doesn't say, and therefore don't say Tashlik on Shabbos. So from the Maharil himself, who introduced the minhag, it sounds like, or who popularized the minhag, sounds like he's saying you could do it on Shabbos. However, Mishnah Berurah brings Sas Mekomas for Isi. Even though it's not brought in the Ramah, talks about the minhag, he doesn't distinguish between Shabbos and other days. Mishnah Berurah says, Sas Mekomas, not all Mekomas, Sas Mekomas, I saw the Keshkai Yomecha B'Shabbos, Hokin Shvashenu Nor. They go the second day to say Tashlik. Eshem Neisha Nar, because they take Sfarim, forget the breadcrumbs, the Sfarim, you ever read like the entire Tashlik? It's really long. So people are bringing the Machzorim and so forth. So therefore, he says, therefore, it's better to go, it's appropriate to go on the second day. And the Shari Tshuva brings, you know, various Mekubalim who felt that you didn't necessarily have to pay attention to this. It's perfectly fine to go on the first day. And the Shvus Yaakov also held that you could even go on the first day. But there are others who bring other arguments. They say, no, because what are you doing? You're separating from the Nitzotzos, from the Klipos. They're doing all kinds of Kabbalistic things. Borer. that I can't really relate to 100%. Not entirely sure about, you know, the Kabbalistic, you know, overtones and so forth, but, you know, based on certainly these types of considerations, do you want to say also, because you might be saying the Yugim Amidos, and we have a minute not to say, you know, the Yugim Amidos when it comes to Shah. I didn't see anybody say that, but somebody must say that somewhere, you know, which also would seem to be, you know, a consideration. The other thing to be aware about when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, everybody should have a kesiva v'chasima tova a good bench year, and a year, you know, in which we also are, we elevate ourselves in terms of our fulfillment of Shabbos, that we should be mekayim the next part of the Gemara, which says that a year which is rush, which is poor at the beginning, maybe that we didn't have the ability to build a shovel in the first day, it should be usher, it should be, you know, rich and vibrant and successful, full of bracha v'hatzlacha for all of us, and lead to the bias of go tzedek, and may Rabbi Amin.